Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Mailbag. Big spending, the Ewing theory, and stars at the theatre are the orders of the day. It's Saturday, 27th of Jan. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Eddie Brassel.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the mailbag. It's a super Saturday here at the Football Ramble, and I hope it is where you are as well. I mean, it must be Saturday. What a day.
Unless you're a shift worker or you work in the shop or whatever and you're gutted about being at work. If that's the case, Listen to this. Put a little cheeky earphone in while you're stacking the shelves or whatever it is you're doing.
Little Jose Mourinho earpiece.
Yeah, exactly. No one will stop you.
No one.
No one will stop. And if they do, send them our way.
Mm.
And if they're a Patreon subscriber, we'll talk to them.
Yeah. And if they're really hard, we won't.
Nah, definitely not. We'll send Jim after him.
We will, as we do. Now, if you want to get involved with the mailbag, of course, you can tweet us on X at Football Ramble. Message us on Instagram at Football Ramble. And of course, you can email us, show@footballramble.com.
If you're old school.
We've got more characters.
There's a generation coming along that probably won't want to do email anymore, but we're sticking at it doggedly.
Well, they're very welcome here as well.
Yeah,
you
actually
can always transmit your questions directly into our minds as well.
That's true, actually. These days you can do that, Andy. Yep. You've been talking to Matt Letizia again.
Yeah. So on that, Andy, someone has just done that. Favourite Fulham goals? No, the first question is from Rachel on email. And Rachel says, this January transfer window has been so much quieter than the last. With the financial charges in mind and talk of Newcastle and Chelsea having to sell to avoid the same fate, are we about to enter a new era of restraint from Premier League clubs after the post-COVID trolley dash? Or will order be resumed in the summer when Bowley drops 100 big ones or 100 million boys, we could also say, yeah. Rachel, for Victor Osimhen on the 1st of June. So the context is that in January 2023 last year, spend was a record 815 million in the Premier League, which is staggering if you think about that. It was 295 million in January 2022, but there's only been 48 million spent this January. That could all change, of course, but that's what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, I think it is an interesting situation, and I thank Rachel for the question. We're still in the middle of the transfer window, technically, though. I mean, I know Saturday, 27th of January, is 4 or 5 days left. The transfer window closes on the 1st of February, for those listening who weren't aware of that. And last season seems to me like a bit of an outlier.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because it's the Todd Bowley-Chelsea window, really.
I mean, yes.
He and Chelsea are taking account, taking taken responsibility for a huge amount of that. You know, I think it's something like over and above a third of the total sum. So that is an outlier, I think. The average spend across the last nine January transfer windows is about 200 million, which I guess, as some people have pointed out, that's kind of £10 million a club, in January, fine. There are kind of a lot of interesting other factors, though, that I think do feel a bit like a game changer. Because, for example, if between now and February the 1st, Ivan Toney goes for quite a lot of money, could go for 50, 60 million, really, feasibly.
If he wants his way, he will go.
Yeah, exactly. And let's make it absolutely clear, he's working every minute of every day to try and make that happen. And so one other move, it becomes roughly commensurate with what it was, say, three seasons ago in January.
But 815 million is...
But that's an outlier. High. That's an outlier. I think that's just an outlier, and maybe we don't see that kind of stuff happen again. The only senior first-team player a Premier League club has paid a fee for this month is Radu Dragosin, who's gone to Spurs. Mm-hmm. So that is quite interesting.
And that's because it was, globally speaking, a bargain.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's all built up to the main point I wanted to make, which was... I wonder, and I'm going to answer this in the form of another question back to you guys, which is profit and sustainability rules appear to have come into play an awful lot in the last 9 months or so. It seems to be talked about an awful lot. Everton, not just Everton and Nottingham Forest, but every kind of recent headline around a transfer or a potential transfer now seems to be that there's a profit and sustainability rule, a PSR element to it. Yeah. I actually had a little cursory look before we came in today to see which clubs have been mentioned. Within about 5 minutes, I could find headlines around transfers that talked about PSR with Man United, Newcastle, Aston Villa and Fulham. Right, I know for a fact as well, because we discussed it a week or two ago, Palace are super wary of it as well. Mm. Crystal Palace are trying to make sure they don't fall foul of it, because it's obviously absolutely catastrophic for these small teams. So it could be that we haven't got to the end of the transfer window yet. It could be that these things ebb and flow, or it could be that PSR is actually really starting to bite and really having an effect, and it may well have a few more teeth than people expect. I don't know what you think, Andy.
Well, I think PSR is now my second favourite football acronym after AVB.
Pugmol.
AVB will always be the greatest.
In this studio, it's Pugmol, isn't it, Marcus?
Yeah, it is Pugmol.
Always Pugmol.
What about KDB?
Yeah. Apparently Arsenal have written a letter to Pugmol about why they haven't signed more players. Absolute whipping boys. If you didn't do that decision, we wouldn't have needed to sign more players.
That's it.
What do you think about my last point about PSR?
Well, I think already something has changed, even if this only turns out to be transient, because we've reached a point where Premier League clubs are actually considering the importance of value for money. Mm. That has not really been a thing before. Certainly not for a lot of clubs. I think the way that Newcastle United have approached things since day one of the Saudi era is quite interesting, because there was always the perception that they've got an unlimited amount of money, they're going to do what they want. And they have always run the club on the basis of we can't do whatever we want. And I think this really reflects not Newcastle, I think it reflects the global climate. The fact that you can't go on like Chelsea. Maybe Chelsea has been the little wake-up call, and the way that they've behaved in the Bowley era has become the little wake-up call for everyone. Because I think what we're finding more and more, and this has always been an issue in the Premier League, or it's been an issue in the Premier League for over 15 years, is clearing deck is really difficult. Now, they've been really helped out with the expansion of the Saudi Pro League. Because can you imagine the financial shit that Chelsea would be in, and to a lesser extent Newcastle and other clubs, if they hadn't been able to sell these unsellable players to a destination that actually wasn't available to them, if you go back even a year? So you've got to realise that the rules that they're working to, these are rules that are voted in by the clubs. So it is, to a degree, a Premier League, even if the Premier League clubs feel that, you know, they're being hurt by it, these are all rules that they voted for. So it is self-regulation to a certain extent. And I think when you get to a point like, say, Victor Gyökeres, formerly of Coventry, has been linked to going to Chelsea this summer. We all know this winter. We all know they're looking for a big-time striker. Whether he's it, I think, is a different question. But the fact that he left Coventry for 20 mil in the summer, and Chelsea offer like four times as much for him, and Sporting go, well, if you offer us five times as much as him, like that will hit his release clause. Yeah. But that is ridiculous. You know, there has to be a point there where clubs look around and go, actually, this is unsustainable, especially if it doesn't work. You know, I think there's a limited amount for anyone. I would still expect, say, Victor Osimhen, as in Rachel's question, to come to the Premier League in the summer. But I think the question is not just what does this do to the Premier League, but if this were to continue, or if Premier League clubs were to be at least more sensible going forward, I don't expect it to be like this January, because the thing is, what is unsustainable is spending like Premier League clubs have done in January. They have the money to spend, not exactly what they like, but generous amounts in the summer. But of course, you're always going to be over a barrel in January because it's January. I think the problem is, if we get to summer, the problem for the European game, in a sense, if we get to the summer and it's still quite slow, is the fact that it stops French clubs spending, because they don't get a load of collateral from the Premier League to do that. Maybe it stops Portuguese clubs spending. So it's not something that exists just in an English bubble.
So much like the housing market then, it's like a big housing chain.
Yes, exactly.
Can I chuck something else into the mix? This is a bit of a wicked whisper, and it's just a theory. It's not a wicked whisper, actually, because it did happen, but the theory is the Everton points deduction a game changer here? Has that moved the dial for clubs who are roughly the same profile at the moment as Everton?
We're not immune to our own rules.
Because
maybe
it's only the third time in Premier League history a points deduction has happened. One was Portsmouth, we all know. One was Middlesbrough before that in the kind of mid to late 90s. No. It is not a huge precedent in the Premier League under their own self-regulation to actually points deduct one of their own. It's normally been fines. Mm. It's normally been other kind of stuff that they can perhaps creatively navigate. Mm. I don't think, if we are going to kind of read into this and kind of really drill down to Rachel's question and say, well, one hand this and on the other hand that, that's fine. I just wonder whether it isn't a coincidence that actually the first transfer window since that's happened, clubs are starting to go,
Yeah, I think
I'm
so.
I'm not sure, because that does meaningfully there is
media,
fuck us.
I mean, look, the numbers speak for themselves. There is also media perception as well, in that that when that happens, you know, the clubs are... It's not, you know, after Everton are deducted 10 points, suddenly clubs start thinking, you know, a bit more intelligently or wisely about transfers and where they spend their money. They'll have had to have do that if they've been doing it well. They'll have had to have done that for a good few years now, because you're not fined by the January, the window that's just passed. It's
no, but if you know, if you know that kind of technically speaking, they could give you a points deduction, but in reality that never happens.
In other words, they'll take a fine. They'll be like, okay,
yeah, it just becomes a creative accounting issue.
Yeah, maybe
because the financial benefits of being in the Premier League are so high, you just take the chance.
So my point is that yes, there's clearly a numbers thing here with regards to less money being spent. But I think also there's more media attention on it as well. So I think in the fans' minds, it's more the forefront of your mind.
So it's perception becoming reality.
I think so, yeah. It's a much better and succinct way of putting it.
But do January signs actually do an awful lot anyway? I mean, it's not a hugely successful, generally speaking, anyway.
Well, I think if you could say that the Chelsea point that you made is an important one, I think. Because if you think, what do Chelsea have to go in the rest of this season? You know, if you're normal Chelsea, like Chelsea that are challenging for trophies, you think, okay,
Chelsea, I haven't seen them for a while.
I'm not even sure what that means.
Yeah, right.
Maybe there's this one signing that pushes us closer to winning the Premier League, or maybe there's this one signing that pushes us closer to being a true Champions League contender. If they went out and got their 100 million striker, how much did it really move the needle for them? Well, now, I don't think that much. In summer, when you're restarting a project, different. So I think Chelsea, you have to look on the last couple of years. They hugely affect the market, and how they behave hugely affects the market. But I think the other thing is, talking about your point about perception being reality in terms of the Everton shock, I think what is clear from the way that Everton and Nottingham Forest in particular have been up before the beak is the fact that the Premier League clubs are only just starting to work out what these rules actually mean for them. I think there's a lack of understanding. So you're right to be careful while you work out what it actually means and what the implications are.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
You got the next question,
yeah,
Mr. Brassel.
I do. It's from Sam on X. What was X formerly known as?
Twitter.
Facebook.
Right, thank you.
It will be known as that once again. My words.
Yeah. So Sam says, I've seen a few Ewing theory takes, and there's one on Spurs and Harry Kane this season. So the Ewing theory is basically when you've got a star athlete that receives all the concentration and media attention, but never really quite gets his team to win anything. And when they leave the team, and the team does better than you expect them to do without that.
Yeah, not necessarily better, but better than we expect.
Better than you expect, yeah, exactly. So Sam says, I've seen a few Ewing theory takes, and there's one on Spurs and Harry Kane this season. I disagree with that one, but do you think that there are any potential Ewings around at the moment? Bruno Fernandes is one for me. Or if you agree with the Kane-Ewing theory, well, it's been expanded. Mm. Patrick Ewing's not on his own anymore. Should Southgate try it as well?
No, is the answer to that last bit. Definitely not.
Yeah, just, guys, I've got this theory that's been put forward by an American sports journalist. And I think, as a result, I'm not going to pick Harry Kane for the Euro squad this summer.
That's right.
No, look.
We'll bring it back Andy Carroll.
I definitely think, so first of all, I would just add about the Ewing theory there is that it's essentially got its roots in basketball, where there's five players on the pitch per team, per team. The impact is probably a lot more outsized than it would be for a football team. That's just something I wanted to add. But I do definitely think there's something to be said for the modern way of lionizing and elevating individual players within football. Mm-hmm. And the effect it can have on what is obviously a team sport. So the amount of media attention Ronaldo and Messi have got means that I think it probably can be to the detriment of their team sometimes.
I think Inter Miami would be better without Messi.
No, I don't.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Does that answer your question clearly enough?
That does. Yeah.
No worries. I'd be a terrible politician, me, wouldn't I? But
not for those reasons.
How low have you got? Having said that, I don't know if this theory applies to football that much. I think there's some evidence both for it and against it. I think, you know, Messi, you know, at Barcelona, they win everything. He wins 4 Ballon d'Or. So he is clearly taking a lot. You know, he is still a standout player. Yeah. But Messi continued to win things at Barcelona after Guardiola left as well. I think there's a lot of circumstances to why Barcelona are in the state they're in now, and it's not because Messi's left, right? Is that fair?
Well, it's because of how much they were paying him, essentially.
Okay, fine. So maybe that's a fact. I don't know. But Harry Kane's an interesting one at Spurs because they do look good without him, but of course they look brilliant with him in places. They got all the way to the Champions League final.
I mean, the manager
change. It's a small sample size.
Yeah, it's too early to say, and there's been a big manager change as well. Mm-hmm. I just think a lot of the time with these kind of theories, Marcus, you've hit on it there, there are loads of different factors at play. Mm-hmm. And in sport in this country, I'm not an expert on NBA basketball or college basketball or whatever, but in this country, for example, coaches and managers turn over so quickly. Mm. There's not really any consistency anyway. So I don't really know how you can keep a control on the experiment and actually fully say definitively one or the other. I don't think football's as prone to it as maybe some people do.
Yeah, I mean, the one player who over the years people have said, actually, if he's out of the team, are they a bit better? It's Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, I think the trophies would suggest not, but there has been...
You can say it's changed to that. You can say it wasn't always that, but now it's that. I don't think that's unreasonable to say.
Was that the case when Ronaldo was at Real Madrid?
Yeah, so it was Real Madrid and then obviously Juventus, but we're more...
Were those two teams ever better without him? That's the question.
Juventus, yes. Real Madrid, absolutely no.
Right. Yeah.
And I think you're dealing more with peak Ronaldo at Real Madrid. That's the point.
What about Al Nassr?
But I think... Would Al Nassr do better without him? I think... The thing with Cristiano Ronaldo in particular, though, I'm not sure that really applies to Ewing theory, because Ewing theory refers to the sporting benefits of something or the sporting importance of something, yeah. Doesn't it? Or someone. Whereas with Cristiano Ronaldo, I think you've got a right to ask yourself, did Juventus ever sign him for sporting reasons? I mean, they didn't sign him. Of course, they sold it as, this is the guy that's going to push us over the top to win the Champions League. But actually, they spent that money to put them on another level in social media terms.
Which and other markets as well.
Yeah, which has an effect on how much they can get in for advertising. So, you know, in terms of...
But they did
of,
buy him for his quality as well. Let's not be silly here.
Yeah, but they spent an extraordinary amount of money for it. They spent more than they should have spent on a player of that age. Mm. Even if he is one of the greatest players in the history of the game. And it turned out to be a really quite poor sporting decision.
I mean, Footballer of the Year twice in Serie A when he was there. So I'm just saying, Andy, I'm duty-bound to say that.
Maybe you are. But I think individual awards, what effect do they have on team performance, really?
I mean, two league titles, you could say, well, come on, but... I'm just saying that because I don't want you to get the comments.
Andy, why are you being so out of order to Marcus?
Well, and my Cristiano as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing.
It is one for you then. One way of interpreting it is the idea that players will always look to that player.
Right.
And so when that player goes, mm-hmm. they're forced to not do that. And I think England probably have gone so long... The England national team lionising individual players, whether it's mm. Rooney or Owen or Beckham or now Kane or whoever, mm. that they do fall into that trap. And it would be an interesting thought experiment to understand whether they could play more as a unit without that kind of stuff happening. But another one I'd point you to, and this is another example probably of it not actually being the case when I thought it would be, although it is early to say. One that stood out for me was Wilfred Zaha at Palace.
Yeah, I did think the
kind of showpiece attacking player at Crystal Palace, play talismanic, everyone would look to him. It was an interesting situation though, because they had these other exciting young attacking players mm-hmm. who were kind of a similar stripe.
But that's
a really good one.
They could have done their thing. But perhaps for other reasons, again, because football, I think Premier League football could be so complicated and there can be so many different factors, he's left. Crystal Palace aren't really doing much.
But look at Grealish at Villa. You know,
another good one.
Because, obviously they just survived relegation and Grealish and then blah, 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 blah. He then would eventually go to Manchester City for a lot of money. But of course, they then spend that money. And then we have Gerrard coming done very well. And then, you know, it's so much stuff kind of happens, really, that where is the cut-off point?
Yeah, you see what I mean? I agree. And I think the likelihood of Villa spending that money as wisely as they have is actually quite small.
Yeah.
Even though they've done it quite well, because I think you could definitely envisage a situation.
Spurs with Bale.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. That's the one, isn't it? Mm. You could definitely have envisaged Villa doing that. But part of that, as you say, is the change at the top, is the coaching change.
Which takes a while, things, obviously. I mean, from Grealish
which are not
to,
connected to that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. There's no connection. So perhaps a big example on the international stage would be Denmark in 1992. Mm. Michael Laudrup's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, because I thought about this and I thought,
where is Denmark?
Well, no, Denmark. Yeah. They actually did okay in qualifying. I mean, they didn't qualify, but all things considered, you know, very good.
Can you do okay in qualifying and not qualify?
Well, in context, yes. Because...
not if you're Denmark, though, surely.
Well, I mean, okay, so they had a good side in the 80s, but they were on the wane come 92.
I suppose Mark is right, because actually they were the next best team. And that's why they're in there.
And Yugoslavia were top of that group. Yeah. And you remember that Yugoslavia side.
Yeah.
Were very, very good. Had obviously the awful stuff not happened, you know, they may well have gone on to really do something in that tournament. But anyway, blah, 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 blah. Laudrup leaves because he has a falling out with the manager because he's saying, I'm being asked to do defensive work. Yeah. You know, he was king of the acrobats at Barcelona and then would be at Real Madrid. I think Michael Laudrup's a funny player. He's kind of got lost a little bit in footballing history because he was one of the best talents of his generation.
Yeah.
Played for Barca. And I mean, he used to have a banner out at Barcelona saying, enjoy Michael Laudrup.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Utterly incredible status he had.
But they galvanised themselves without Laudrup,
well,
right?
And Brian Laudrup also, who was only about 21 at the time, left the side as well saying, the manager is not quite, this is not working with him in the side.
P.S. my brother told me to do it.
Exactly, yeah. He's 5 years older than me. But Brian Laudrup would come back and so on, and then kind of became one of the stars of the team, as would a young Peter Schmeichel and so on. Mm. Would they have become that if Michael Laudrup was in the side?
It gives everyone more room to express themselves.
But also in that system, which is what the manager's doing. He's playing a system which Michael Laudrup doesn't like. But if Laudrup goes and the manager's saying, right, we all need to be solid defensively and all that kind of stuff and do the unglamorous stuff, they're going to go, all right.
I'd love to have been present on that phone call when the manager calls up Michael Laudrup. Little trophy in the background. Do you still want to come on the bus? You can still come on the bus if you want.
You did play three games in qualifying.
We need a driver.
I mean, that is sensational for a side who...
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And I just don't think that there's a lot of translation between NBA. No. And I think to be fair to Bill Simmons, he talked about it a lot with college basketball as well. Mm-hmm. There's not a huge amount of difference. Yeah. Sorry, not a huge amount of similarities, I meant to say, between that and Premier League.
Well, he made a lot of NFL comparisons, and there are more players involved there, aren't there? So.
Yeah.
Possibly. But I think it was a good question from Sam and an interesting one to explore, and it got us thinking.
I definitely think there's an element where...
Give Sam a bit of credit.
Listen, Sam, wherever you are...
He's on X.
Listen, it's the Wild West out there on X at the moment, so you keep yourself safe, mate. You always have friends here at the Ramble after that question because it was sensational.
Come
was
and hide in the mailbag.
Susan Purb.
Although if you take Sam off X, would it unexpectedly get better?
It might do.
Yeah.
It might do. I still send your questions in, though, because we'd love to hear from you. An email here from Liam, who is rapidly becoming the Ramble's theatre correspondent after being in touch in a previous mailbag about sitting next to Ange Postecoglou. A play.
I mean, there's a lot of competition to be our theatre correspondent.
Oh yeah, it's inundated.
The type of company we keep.
Yeah, we need to do an email address just for that. He says, gentlemen, last night I went to the Back to the Future musical in London's West End and found myself sitting next to everyone's favourite no-nonsense defender and wind-up merchant Martin Keown.
Oh.
I was surprised to see The Scourge of Ruud van Nistelrooy, a bright, glossy musical. I'd have put him down as more of a tragedian myself, but assumed he must have been interested enough to come along. Alas, no. Martin, who I spotted deep in conversation with Great British Bake Off judge Prue Leith before the show, there's a combination, started texting at one point during the first half. Terribly poor form from Martin. Still, the big fella did get to his feet for the curtain call, so perhaps things picked up a bit in the second half for him, or he was nourished by the comically large tube of crisps he bought at the interval. After spotting Big Ange at the crowd at Kenneth Branagh's King Lear, is the football world taking its cues from the stage?
You'd hope so.
I like that Martin Keogh. I mean, I love that Ange has gone to see Kenneth Branagh's King Lear.
Yeah,
I'll be say this as politely as I can. There's nothing in Kenneth Branagh's interpretation of Shakespeare's King Lear for Martin Keogh. He is getting none of that,
or any of us.
None of it's coming through. None of it is coming through to him.
You know how you get options when you buy tickets. You know, maybe you could get an aisle seat or whatever. Is Liam getting one where can I sit next to quite a gruff man?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I suspect that Liam might be there for professional reasons himself. He seems to go to the theatre an awful lot.
He seems to. Okay. What about Martin Keown then? If he's not there for enjoyment, it's not professional reasons. He's not thinking, I think I could play the part there.
Don't you think he has got quite a Shakespearean delivery on TalkSport? I do.
Well, he talks really slowly.
Yeah, that's right.
I've sat at and listened to an Arthur Dinner speech from Martin Keown.
Any good?
No, it's dreadful. So boring. Is he making such good things sound so boring?
Like what? I suppose he's
talking about the Invincibles. It's just so crap.
Yeah. Is it like he's thinking, okay, He starts off a paragraph. So Dennis Bergkamp, brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, it's like someone saying, okay then, you know, Wonderwall. Okay, great. This is the techno version. Oh, no, come I don't on. Want
to. But I was working with Ray Parler at the time.
Lovely.
And he can make a trip to the shop sound interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
I think there's probably
Ray's
got to
be doing after dinner speaking. And if he's, if you're not Ray, no you doubt. Will clean up there.
Ray Parler's doing after dinner speaking
yeah.
at the local pub to people who are having dinner and not getting paid for it.
Exactly.
So he's definitely doing his paid gigs as well.
I mean, if you're about to get married, get Ray Parler as your best man for whatever reason, because the speech you'll deliver, he probably won't do anything about you, but he'll just be able to do it well.
Do you know, last time I saw Ray Parler, it was outside a venue where a Christmas party was happening that I'd been in attendance as well.
Ooh.
And I was standing outside waiting for my Uber, and I got a tap on the shoulder, turned around, and it was Ray Parler. He'd enjoyed himself.
Yes.
He'd had a lovely night.
Did he recognise you?
Well, we're a bit the same thing.
You look at Luke off the football round. No,
he went, do you know where my hotel is? Said, no, Ray, of course not. I'm getting a cab home. I live in London. Yeah. How do I know where you're staying? No worries. Try and ask someone else. Good on him.
Love it.
So look, I hope Ray goes to the theatre. I can see him. I'll tell you what, I'm surprised that Liam hasn't been in touch about all the people he's seen at Dear England, which is a fantastic play.
Yes.
About Southgate's England journey. I would recommend that to anyone.
It's actually super. Right?
Had me in tears, that did.
Did it really?
Yeah.
That bad.
And that was just the price.
Yeah. Well, I think you could see Ray having a little Jaeger bomb.
Oh, big time.
He does love
it. You see Ray having a Jaeger bomb anywhere.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Speaking of that, George Sexton Kerr is a friend of mine who used to produce over there. He had an idea where he... This is good. I can't believe I told you this before. George found out that the oldest living Arsenal fan was 100.
Right.
Was about to celebrate her 100th birthday in a care home.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to go down there and do a bit. So George took Ray down there.
Class. Right?
And on the social media accounts, Ray did a Jaeger bomb. I got her down a cup of tea. It's great stuff.
He can't help himself.
It's great stuff.
He's amazing. Always in the same mode.
Cobra bomb for Ray in
Love
the care
it.
Home.
That's so good.
Yeah.
He can't. It's just what it is. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Mailbag. We're back on Monday with a brand new ramble. And as we said at the top of the show, do get involved in the mailbag on X and Instagram at Football Ramble. And email us, shoutfootballramble.com. Laura Love, have a lovely weekend.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.